Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. I like a sex machine. Get on up.
Watch radio, buddy.
Get up.
Game.com. Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Everybody, check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. I'm on the tail end of what I would normally say before the holiday happens, Sam, but you know how I like to tell everybody, be careful with an amateur weekend coming up.
But you know what? It's still going on. A lot of people, you know, still, you know, got some traveling to do. If they went to visit people, they still got to get back on the road today. So, you know.
Well, have a very...
Still issue the warning. Still issue the warning. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, just y'all be safe out there. I heard that a couple times yesterday. Boy, I was just thinking Hill Street Blues all day. But just be very, very careful. If you're new to the show, by the way, Sam and Greg, tell everybody we're here 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. And one of the things Sam and I have been doing since we've been together is letting you know about the amateur days of the year. And there are 8 of them. Sam, I've been doing this with you long enough. I'm going to have you reel them up. But let me just tell you, the amateur days of the year are the days that people who don't normally drink and drive, unfortunately, are drinking and driving. And 4th of July is one of the 3 summer amateur days, amateur nights, if you will. 4th of July, Labor Day, and Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Those are the 3 summer ones. But can you name the other 5, Sam? You've been working with me a long time.
The other
Come on
5.
Now. There's 5 left.
5 left. Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. You've been working me all this time. Nobody drinking and getting crazy on Thanksgiving. You're too full to go out and get stupid.
Wild turkey.
No. Maybe at your house, but no. All right, I'll just get through them. New Year's Eve, St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo, Halloween night, and America's only unofficial holiday, Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday, yep.
So those are the 8. Be very, very careful out there, folks. What we've been doing, man, since we've been doing this show, this is our, I don't know, 7th week or so since we've been back doing this because of the pandemic. And we hope folks are doing well, feeling better, staying out there. Hopefully the virus hasn't attacked your loved ones or friends of yours. But we kind of recap our week. And Mr. Crenshaw, we'll get to the NFL stuff or the sports stuff in a second. But how was your week overall, man?
Overall, the week was good. Just, you know, going through this week and looking forward to this holiday weekend and then wondering what you're going to do because you knew everything was canceled. You know, all the things we normally see and normally do, you know, that's not the thing that you're looking forward to. Yeah, it's July 4th. It's still been celebrating independence in our countries, but it's still, there's a lot of things, other things in the background that are going on. We still got a movement going on in the streets in our nation, and we still have this pandemic that threatens to send us all back inside at a time when we are wanting to hear different news. We're wanting to hear different stories. You know, kids want to know, are they going to be able to go back to school and actually, you know, go to school with their friends and see their classmates again? Or are they going to have to do more online school? We're hearing different plans for hybrid. You know, you may want to go actually to school for a couple of days and then be online at home for a couple of days. A whole lot of things that you're talking about. And, yes, that will impact whether or not we have sports. So those are things that I guess this week I was paying attention to and listening to. And, you know, that's.
Did we talk about that story having to do with, as you talked about, kids going back to school and whether they decide to do it remotely or go back is still to be determined in some cases. But the ones that are going back – Or if they're planning on going back, they have to obviously reconfigure school, entire school, but obviously classes, things like that. But the one that stuck with me, now think about this, school buses. If you had to guess, how many kids get on a school bus? How many kids does a school bus, a normal school bus, hold, if you had to guess?
I'm not even sure.
I didn't know either, so I don't feel bad.
Okay.
They said 66. Did you
ride a bus to school?
No, man, I walked to school. I was fortunate. Well, when I moved to Oak Park, I walked. But before that, I not only had to catch the bus, I had to catch the bus to the L, then take one L into the city, and then get on another one that took me to the South Side.
What kind of school are you going to,
It was a school that my grandmother wanted me and my brother going to, and it was a 5-iron away from White Sox Park. And we were on the West Side.
You had to take a bus and a train?
Yeah, man, because mom and daddy worked. So they didn't have, you know, and this is Chicago. It's the quickest way to get there, to be honest with you. But my brother was older. Yeah. Listen, man, don't get me started on it, because that's one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me. I had an older brother. He's like 7 years older than me, right? And he would always mess with me because I'm the younger brother. So I was always in the way. And that was back in the day when they had phone booths. I'm going to tell this story. I can't believe I'm going to do this. So he always had like a quarter. Or a dime or some kind of change in his pocket, and they still had newsstands at the bus stops.
No, of course.
All right, newsstands were there, and there was something about I had a thing for Baby Ruth candy bars back then, and I used to love them. Of course, I didn't have no money in my pocket, and he would get whatever candy bar he wanted and tease me with it. So I try to stay as far away from him as possible, right? This is a true story, Sam. I'm not kidding you. And I know we should be talking sports, but start the show. And I'm like 7 years old, actually. I'll never forget this. And I'm waiting at the bus stop. He's teasing me, so I'm just trying to get away from him. So I stand back, and I lean up against the two phone booths. Booths, folks, that used to be right next to each other, okay?
Yeah,
and I'm playing around, and I'm kind of sliding my head back and forth between the opening of, you know, the two phone booths. Just, I don't know why I was doing it, but I did. Next thing I know, my head is stuck.
Huh?
My head, I must have like put it in and wedged it down.
What?
And I could not get my head out from between those two phone booths.
Are you serious?
I'm not serious, man. And not only that, my face is like... Like, I was just being a little kid, right? And I'm looking up at the sky, and poof, it got stuck. Now I don't want to pull it out, right? And my brother, the bus comes, and he gets on the bus. And he's standing there by the man who's taking your change going, Gregory, you better come on. Come on, Gregory, you better come on. And that was a time when my mother had it timed out to where she knew we got on the bus at this time, we were going to be home at this time. And... the bus driver waited. Now I'm screaming. I'm crying. And my brother comes down like Moe from the Three Stooges, puts two fingers under my nose trying to help out to pull me out. That made me scream even louder. The bus driver says, I'm sorry, we have to go. He left. Sam, We missed three buses, right, trying to get home. My mother is apoplectic on the other end. And, of course, ain't no cell phones. Call nobody. Where's my babies? She's standing there at the Lake Street L waiting for us to get off. Never happened. So a policeman, this is the end of the story, a policeman came up, put his billy club between the two phone booths and wedged him a little bit so I could get out.
Whoa.
And I just pulled my head out. I had one of them early, like Bobby Brown, you know, when they cut the little lines in your head. So I had a couple of them, but they were sort of on the east side, and they were different directions. But, yeah, you brought that memory back.
Nice.
And my brother got it when he got home, though.
Really?
Even though it was my fault.
Because he was going to leave you.
Well, he was he didn't. He didn't leave me. He got back off the bus, but he kept messing with me. And then he didn't call. He says, you could have walked into the Walgreens and called your mama. Well, she wasn't really going to be able to get a call because she was coming from work to – anyway. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg making me tell a not so fun story from my past. Look, you poll our audience, and if I put some fire under your fingernails, you have a story similar to that. Something we all did, especially boys. We all did something stupid as a kid. Yeah,
folks, in case you just joined us, that started talking about riding a bus, school bus. Yeah, how many people get on a school bus? Because yes, I never rode a school bus.
Well, you asked me that. That's what took me down the road. So let me finish this stat. Yeah. And we talk about things returning. School buses hold 66 to 68 kids, right? So I saw this story this week. If they're going to retrofit everything for kids to go back, that means school buses. So to have the distance that is necessary and that they have laid out, they have to retrofit these buses. They go from 66 kids to 9.
Wow.
You hear what I'm saying? 66 taking them to school, retrofit them, 9.
Which means you need more bus drivers.
Yeah.
Well, and also can mean you need more teachers because, you know, especially with the elementary school kids, the little ones, the pre-K and the K, they don't know how to stay away from each other. That's going to be the hardest thing. Yeah. They're going to come back and see their little friends, and they got to go run up to them and hug them and all that, you know. And that's going to be hard. You're going to have to get smaller class sizes. So that means you're going to get more teachers. You know what I mean? To keep them scattered out and separated, yeah. Which is, you know, it could be easier for high school age kids to grasp the idea. But the little ones, man, they haven't seen their friends now in weeks, months. And when they see them, man, they just, you know how kids are. They got to run up and hug and tumble all over the place and just be kids, you know.
Well, that's so not going to happen now because they've been not doing that for so long. Now, and parents have had a chance. Now, you know, if you live next to one of your schoolmates, that's different. But if you ain't seen them, by the time y'all get together, you know, you have altered how you go through life, even as an eight-year-old.
That's at home with your parents reminding you.
But they're telling them, hey, you can't go up and just jump up on Johnny again. You know, your friend, you can't go up and hug him. You can't go up and high-five him.
That's something the Braves had to deal with. You know, they couldn't do that. And look at what happened with them, folks. I mean, that's the thing. Braves, after one workout, I think that's our big story locally this week, is after one workout, we got 4 positive tests.
Yeah.
And also we got a professional tennis event going on in Peachtree Corners. Had a player test positive in that. That's the first event, Greg, with live competition with fans in attendance. The configuration for 450 fans to attend and watch this event. And, you know, we talked about it last weekend.
Yeah, Eddie Gonzalez joined us. He couldn't have been more excited about it.
He was excited about it and figured they had everything all figured out, going to keep the players safe, going to keep the spectators safe. And, my goodness, after the first day, Francis Tiafo, who joined me Thursday night when I was sitting in for John Chuckery, he called in. We talked a little bit. He was excited about being here and tuning up and getting ready for the U.S. Open, and he tests positive and had to drop out of the event. So – yes, you know.
So let's
talk about this week.
We got Dave Hunter joining us throughout the show. Executive Director of Corky Kell going to talk a little high school football and the uniqueness. If they get it off, the uniqueness of this particular Corky Kell. Dustin Long, NBC has now got NASCAR. We're going to talk to him about their season, their race, and today, of course, is the Brickyard 400. And then Joe Patrick, our own Joe Patrick, on the station is going to come out and talk Braves and Atlanta United. You see that scene of these guys leaving yesterday? Atlanta United fans out there like they were headed off to the championship game. So their fan base is ready. We're just getting started on a Sunday morning. Remember, tell everybody, Sam and Greg are here 6 a.m. until 10. Again, this is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Make sure you can check us out on radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers, on this Hamilton weekend.
It is that.
Sam calls it. It's a Hamilton week. We got red shirt Sundays. Now we got a Hamilton weekend.
Hamilton weekend. And because we got the musical being streamed by Disney Plus, but also Lewis Hamilton as Formula One starts running around 9 o'clock this morning our time. He'll go after another championship and do what he does so well, drive and win. And he's been kind of outspoken too about things that have been happening over here in the States and in the movement, and especially things with Bubba Wallace and NASCAR. Maybe this will get him to want to come over and drive Daytona 500.
I want to ask
next year. He's been flirting with that idea for some years.
I want to ask you, And as you said it, I thought about it, and I kind of know the answer, but I'm not sure because it's one of those speculative things. But as we talk about voices from the sports world who reach, you know, great amount of people or the preeminent voice from the sports world, would you say that it's not an easy choice to say if it's LeBron, if it's Lewis Hamilton, if it's Messi or who's the other soccer player that's Mr. Model?
Ronaldo.
Those guys. Who is the preeminent sports voice on this planet? Because this is a global pandemic, and the things that have happened on the periphery, various sports figures have talked about it, but with the movement going on here in America and athletes of color around the world having things to say, is that the most prominent voice, would you say, speaking on this?
Yeah, he's one of them, and I think LeBron obviously will have
well,
that.
Well, worldwide. And, I'm just asking. If you well, thought worldwide.
He's worldwide, too, and I think he's worldwide, too, because of more than just playing the game, but because of what he has at his disposal to, you know, put it out there, his production company, things that he has of his nature to put his image out there and his thoughts and things that support his thoughts and his words go out there. But as you talk about soccer being the biggest sport internationally and globally, you would probably think that one of the two superstars with soccer, they take on this cause. If they kneel before the start of their matches, if they do something as a gesture, it catches the eyes of a lot more people.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the Braves and how they're dealing with the news of Freddie Freeman and his other teammates testing positive. But Freddie, man, it hit him because wasn't he dealing with something before the test came out?
Already had some symptoms. I mean, his wife in a statement mentioned that he was already dealing with some things Thursday before the team took to the field on Friday. And already was dealing with some things. So,
Sam,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me step on you. For those who don't know, Major League Baseball, they don't have to let you know who tested positive. They're letting you know who's opting in, who's opting out, people on the fence. But as far as the tests go, Major League Baseball has a special dispensation where they don't have to let you know. In the Braves case, Manager Snitker went and asked the guys, hey, do you mind if we let our fan base know what's going on with you guys or what's going on with our team and full disclosure? And so Brian Snitker was talking about the test and just everything about this spring training. Here are his words.
Players test positive for COVID. We have two players that are asymptomatic. They aren't at the workouts because they tested positive. That's Will Smith and Tuki Toussaint. We had two other players that tested positive that are showing symptoms. Pete Kosma, I've talked to all these guys this morning. I talked to Will. He feels great. He's anxious to get back. It's just he's got to go through the protocols and the follow-up testing before we can get him here and get him on his program. Tuki also, we talked to him. He's another one that was asymptomatic, but he did test positive, so he'll go through it. Pete Kosma is in the Gwinnett group. He did have the fever and wasn't feeling too good, but he's said this morning that he's feeling better. Again, you know, there's protocol that you go through before we can get him on the field. And the last one's Freddie Freeman. Freddie tested positive for the COVID. He has run in the fever. I talked to him this morning. He's still kind of, you know, not feeling great. I mean, so it'll be a while before we can get him back. And I think it's just one of these things that and we had meetings today with all the players, with all the groups. Because this is real. This is a real thing. And in talking to those players, I thought, you know, when we talk to them, because they have to sign off on us bringing their names out. And I thought, you know, for me, I think it's good in the industry and society to know that this is a real deal.
Braves manager Brian Snitker. Yeah, full disclosure, man. Letting everybody know. And he didn't have to do it. But, you know, I tell you what, and I'm going to be honest with you, Sam. Now I'm going to be focused on these guys for the upcoming season if they get it off and running. Because we talked about this. This virus attacks the lungs. And you're going to talk about an athlete's wind that is so ever-present in their in what they do. And that's one of the things I'm hearing from people who have gotten it, athletes who got it. Rudy Gobert, he's still talking about he ain't right. It was that thing from Life, Can't Get Right. That's how he's making it sound like his body is, as it comes back, is just, you know, things aren't lined up. Things are not working right. He's still feeling the effects of it, and he's the dude that shut everything down.
Yep, he was the first one, you know.
So this worries me.
And what worries you, it worries the players, too, and the idea that they have to work together and be around each other and still find ways to you know, to get things done as a team, to work out, to get into shape and condition, and try to get this 60-game season in. It's just 60 games, but you already look at some things happening with your roster, some players who are not going, some players who are withdrawing. We saw this today at Braves. You know, Felix Hernandez is out of the mix, saying he's opting out. He's not going to play. A lot of people felt like he had had a pretty good showing at spring training and that he was going to be a contender for, you know, a fifth starting spot. And you figure the way this team is going to be configured now, Greg, you know, you're going to have six, seven, eight people that start right now because, you know, nobody's going to be ready to go five, six, seven innings right now. So, you know, you're going to start, when you start up, you're going to have a longer roster. You're going to want those extra pitches, the extra arms who can go and start and give you at least three innings maybe to get you started, three, maybe four. And so you were hoping with his experience he would be one of the guys, but he has opted out, and that changes some of the plans for the pitching staff for the Braves.
I don't know. I just with every week we just shake our heads and we see these guys, these leagues, I should say, trying –
Well, all of them, man. And think about this. Think about this. Later on in the show, we're going to talk to, you know, Dustin Long. Jimmy Johnson is missing a race today for the first time.
One of the races.
He's going to miss a race for the first time since 2001. Get that. Let your brain play with that for a minute.
That just makes it worse for me when I think about this dude's career, because you know I've been like his agent, so to speak, the last few years talking. It just makes me mad, you know. It's like, look over here at this dude, what he's done. You got the camera focusing on so many knuckleheads in sports that aren't doing it. And listen, I'm not the biggest NASCAR fan, but I acknowledge greatness. I don't care where it comes from, at least I attempt to. And as we have continued talking about NASCAR, as we've been working together, we just seem to skirt around the greatness of this man. And I keep thinking about who else has to deal with this, and he's in that category. Him, Tim Duncan, I forgot this is an all-time great over here.
But as this is last year.
That's what I'm saying. This is last year. As we went into this year, we were all praying. Let's hope that Jimmy gets a chance to win. Let's hope that Jimmy's got a good, you know, a good car. All the things we wanted to see. Boom, what happens? Pandemic hits. After a few years, shuts everything down. So he hasn't won anything. Then he had the time off. Now he's coming back. We're hoping, second half of the season, he's going to get a win. Now, boom, hit again. Listen, we ain't going to have a telethon for Jimmy Johnson, okay? He's going to be fine, him and his family. But it's one of those just cringeworthy things that somebody who you'd like to see. Like, I always have this vision of Walter Payton sitting under the, you know, laying under the bench out of bounds. Was his last play in the NFL, and he actually didn't even get a first down. And it's like, he ain't supposed to go out like that. You know, Jimmy Johnson's not supposed to go out like that. So that's where my angst comes from. I'm sorry. And like I said, I don't even give a that much about NASCAR, he's an all-time great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just certain things that are taken away. Baseball this week, as we were talking about the Braves, no minor leagues. The minor leagues are not going to play at all. As we mentioned, we just heard Brian Snitker mentioned a player that was involved with the Gwinnett crew. Well, they're not going to play baseball at Gwinnett this year. They may go out there and work out and train or something, but there's no minor league and no all-star game, obviously, since they're starting a little bit later than normal. They just want to try to get this season in and get to a postseason and say, you know what, let's get this one in the books and come back next year and try to have a regular season the way we normally have it. But, you know, all the things you're going to have, you're going to have a little bit of a bigger roster when you start things out. You're going to get the designated hitter in the National League. I don't know how you feel about that. Are you a DH fan?
I don't care. I don't care one way or the other, to be really honest with you. They got other issues to work out. I don't care. Fix the strike zone. Okay? That's my – start with that. Figure out what you're going to do with these umpires. You're going to have them or you're not going to have them. You're going to bring technology in or not. I don't care about the DH. I'm used to it at this point. But let me tell you baseball's biggest issue. Baseball has a problem that the other sports that are trying to come back right now don't have. We talked about Jimmy Johnson. That's the virus has taken him out. But the biggest name in Major League Baseball is talking about not coming back. They don't have that out of LeBron in the NBA. Mike Trout got a baby coming in August, and this past week he's like, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable. You know, and I understand they're doing everything they can, but this is a dude who is got a perch right there on the fence, and he's not sure which way he's going to go. And he's the top name in this sport.
Yeah, he is.
And so the other ones don't have that going on. And I don't know if that's going to weigh in the decision, but I'm just telling you, this is something that Major League Baseball didn't want to hear. Rob Manfred had some comments, too. I don't know, Jahi, if you got that ready to go, but Rob Manfred has had some comments about what's going on lately in Major League Baseball.
We did get a suboptimal result from the negotiation in some ways. You know, we didn't, the fans aren't going to get an expanded postseason, which I think would have been good with the shortened season. And, you know, look, the players left real money on the table. They left $25 million with the playoff pools, $33 million worth of salary advances. But that's what happens when you have a negotiation that instead of being collaborative gets, you know, into sort of a conflict situation.
You know, Sam, I got out at just the taste that Major League Baseball and this dude, every time he opens his mouth and talks about negotiations and what they went through, it's like Brussels sprouts and smelling salts all mixed up in a blender. that's the taste it leaves me with, man. I don't know about
that's
you.
That's a bad combination. Yikes.
Done it, though, but I mean, do you... Yeah, exactly. That's the noise that people are making about how this has played out. This fight, this nastiness between the owners and the players. Excuse me, the league union and the owners.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Put it that way. So, but your thoughts on when you hear Manfred talk about what happened that got us to this point?
You know, and he had to walk something back this past week. You know, he came on the show, I think it was Dan Patrick, and said that, I figure it's going to be 60 games. People said, what? What was all this haggling about and taking all this time if you knew it was going to be 60 games? And then he came back and he walks it back and said, you know, I just kind of, as time went by, I figured it would be 60 games. Thanks a lot. You know, it's what it's going to be the whole. I feel better. How about you? You know,
I heard the greatest baseball stat this past week. I mean, the absolute greatest. And you probably have heard it, but I just heard it for the first time this past week. It had to do with Mariano Rivera. Are you ready for this?
What's that?
More men have walked on the moon than postseason runs given up by Mariano Rivera.
Whoa.
12 men have walked on the moon. Mariano Rivera only gave up 11 postseason runs. That's the greatest stat I ever heard.
That's
before. Something.
That's pretty incredible. That's incredible.
Going to run that one by Joe Patrick, who's going to join us at 9:20. We're going to talk more Braves and Major League Baseball overall, but also get his thoughts on Atlanta United. We got people tested positive down there in the bubble and around the bubble in Orlando, and it's mostly we've been hearing about NBA players. And, well, Atlanta United took off yesterday for their first game. Had a real nice send-off, but you wonder what that's going to look like as far as MLS down there in Orlando. So we're going to get his thoughts on that. But coming up next, Sam and I have had a number of 4th of Julys throughout our lives. And we're going to talk about this one and what we did, but also some memories in the sports world from the 4th of July. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And check us out on the Radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And happy Independence Day weekend. Check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. As, you know, now that we're here and almost over with, you had asked a question earlier in the show, Sam, because we talk about our 4th of July's from the past, the things sports world related. But you asked something, excuse me, when we started off the show, it was, when is it time to shut down the fireworks? Yeah. Words of that effect, yeah, right?
Man, you know.
Here we go. Get off my grass.
No, it's not get off my grass. Well, you know what? I got a lot of company with this. I will have a whole lot of people with this company with this, because all of our big fireworks displays that we're used to having were canceled. Now, I was envious in other cities. I watched, I think, CNN last night. They were showing fireworks displays in Washington and New York. They fired fireworks off the Empire State Building, Houston, different places they had them, and they still had their big city fireworks display. My hometown, Birmingham, they still had Thunder on the Mountain. They have had that for years since I was a little kid.
What?
Fireworks. They still had theirs. It's called Thunder on the Mountain. Red Mountain is the end of the Appalachian Trail that ends in Birmingham. And on top of that is Vulcan, the statue that is made of iron, because that's what, you know, Birmingham made iron, made the city grow. You know, the iron and steel, Pittsburgh of the South. So that's with a tribute to him. And every 4th of July, that's where the fireworks would be. And wherever you are in the city, you can look up there and you can see the fireworks. So it didn't matter where you're in town. So they call it Thunder on the Mountain. So they had it last night. So we didn't have Stone Mountain. We didn't have Lenox. We didn't have Centennial Park. We didn't have Six Flags. We didn't have Old Fourth Ward. We have any of our traditional fireworks that we'd love to have in town last night. But you know what? People are more than make up for it than what they do in your neighborhood. And, you know, okay, so and I know about your neighborhood. In my neighborhood, there are a number of people who just get fireworks because you can buy them anywhere now. And they just start firing them off. And sometimes, some people have been doing it all week. They didn't wait till the 4th of July. This stuff been going off all week, man. And it goes off any time of the night. And I'm thinking, how late is too late for this?
Yeah, you know, this is a special year.
Shouldn't there be an ordinance anyway? Now that you can buy it at the grocery store, Greg, you remember, it used to be a big thing for people to have fireworks. They have to drive to the state line and go into South Carolina, go into Alabama, and bring it all back. It was a big deal, and now you go down the block and get it.
Yeah, mine was Tennessee, but but this is a different year. All bets are off because everybody's, you know, a lot of people have been inside. Looking for things to do with the kids, you know, and so they just started a little bit early. I'm just going to figure that's the reason this year is a little bit different. Now, if it continues tonight and then tomorrow and then the next day, then you got an argument.
Well, not just that, but how late? Shouldn't there be a thing? So, you know, after 11 o'clock, we're not going to do this. Or after 12 o'clock, we're not going to do this. Because some people just let them off anytime. And that not only wakes people up, it terrifies the pets. The pets are just traumatized, man, from what this stuff going on, you know?
I was looking last night. To answer your question, remember the dude across the street from where I live, he's been lighting them off for years. And he's been getting them. He got two young boys, so it's something he's done. And his boys had their friends come over. This year was a little bit different. But he was the only game in town where I lived for the longest time. But as you said, now you can go to Kroger and get them. So everybody else is firing them off in their backyard. Dude, we had a house about 5 years ago, or one of the houses in the neighborhood, thing went up and came down on the roof and set a fire on the roof.
Whoa, see.
Yeah, it did. Didn't burn a house down, but started a fire up on the roof.
See, so, you know, we'll need that. How was Jesse when this happens?
What was funny? We went out across the street and watched for a little bit. We came back, and Jesse last year, which was, I think, the first fire, 4th of July, we had her, it was cool. But this year, when I got back, she was walking around the house like Groucho Marx. Like, what's going on? And her head was bobbing everywhere. And then I tried to take her outside, and she'd be hearing it in other yards or whatever. And I wanted to do her business. She got halfway through her business and ran back up the stairs. So I had to put a diaper on her all night just to make sure.
I'm saying, man. You know, it's how late is too late for it? Obviously, they have it. And we're going to hear some more tonight, obviously. But, I mean,
on this Hamilton weekend?
On this Hamilton weekend, we're going to have some more fireworks.
But let me just ask you this. Getting back, and Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, as we talk about some of the things from the sports world, my memories that come to mind of this day in the sports world having to do with tennis. We'll get into a little bit more on what happened here locally, but you have not only what happened with Pat Cash, that stands out to me, Pat Cash, 87, when he beat Lendl, okay? You have the obvious one, Borg over McEnroe, the five-setter. You have one that I bet you forgot about, and it was a career that a career that never manifested itself to the level we thought it was going to or hoped it would. But on this date, Zena Garrison ended Steffi Graf's consecutive Grand Slam finals appearances. And this was going back to 90. Zena Garrison's career never took off the way, you know, you'd hoped it would. But yeah, this was the date on that. But obviously the one that I know that
But you know what? If you say that about didn't take off, you think about it compared to then, because we had so many more Americans, you know, playing at that level. She was a top 10 player for years.
Yes, she was.
Top 10 player. She just never made it to the finals. So one time she made it to Wimbledon final. And the thing that I remember most about that was that I forget who it was, Reebok or somebody came to her in the dark of the night and said, here, wear our stuff.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And I'm like, she had been out there as one of the top players in the world for how long and didn't have a clothing deal. And I mean, that's one of the biggest things when the Williams sisters came on the scene. Remember that massive clothing deal that Venus had? Yep. Venus first before Serena.
Right.
But just Zena Garrison, their predecessor on the tour, had played out there for many, many years and had been one of the top players on the women's circuit and didn't have a clothing deal. Yeah. That was a shame.
That's the way it was. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. But for both of us, we were young when this happened, but it was the conversation in my house, and I would imagine yours too, when Arthur Ashe, first African-American, won Wimbledon, beat Jimmy Connors, and that was the story. But there's some backstories to that too that I didn't know about until talking to you.
Yeah, yeah, but Jimmy Connors had a suit against Arthur Ashe at the time. He sued him for about $3 million, I think. Jimmy Connors was the maverick.
Yeah,
he was the young guy that was, you know, brash, had, I think it's Bill Reardon, I think was the name of his manager, who, you know, almost like a carnival barker with him, going around having these sideshow matches in Vegas to make money. And, you know, it was about Davis Cup. And Arthur Ashe was very much a traditionalist when it came to the sport of tennis. And he took pride in being a part of Davis Cup or any type of competition like that, representing the country. He never missed an opportunity to do it. And Connors balked at it. Because I guess they weren't paying him or whatnot for. He balked at it. I ain't doing that. And said, how can you be this top player in the world right now? And this dummy, he was a dominant player at the time. And he wouldn't refuse to do it. And there was no sanctioning body, I guess you were, that could force him to do it or make him do it. Well, there still isn't. But Arthur Ashe at the time had just been elected the president of the ATP. Obviously, with him being another American player, they said, you're going to be able to get this guy to participate. Wouldn't do it. And so they had a big suit against ATP. And personally, Connors sued Arthur Ashe right at around the start of Wimbledon, who knew that they would end up facing off against each other in the final. And Ashe would win. And basically a style of play. It's kind of like a tennis version of the rope-a-dope. Connors was this high-energy guy that could hit the ball so fast and so hard and could out-hit, you know, anybody. He was blowing people off the court. Ashe went in and mixed things up. Lob here, slice there, you know, and then he mixed up the speed of things and just totally kept him off balance and won in four sets. Tremendous history-making match for Arthur Ashe to win there. And later on, they shook hands. Connors dropped the suit. Later, when Arthur Ashe was the Davis Cup captain, Connors did play on the team along with John McEnroe. I got to see that team play in the Omni, by the way, against Argentina.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I got to actually see them.
You said a couple things that just took me off to, and I was just thinking about that. First of all, that game. Well, you talk about them, the rope-a-dope, because Jimmy Connors had that racket. I actually went out and got that thing, that T2000.
Nobody else could play with that racket but him.
That was
a piece of scrap iron.
It was
man.
Just a yeah, it was. It was a piece of iron. It was cool to have for about one season. But,
oh, gosh. Yeah, that was a terrible racket.
T2000.
Nobody else could win with that racket but Jimmy Connors, man. And it was amazing because Wilson stopped making it, and he was still out there on the tour trying to play it. And people who had them in their garages or whatever were sending them to him.
Yeah,
he was playing with a racket. Wilson didn't even make it anymore, and he was still out there beating people with that thing.
On this day, Sam and I remember our 4th of July's from the past. Oakland A's, 93. I say this because the all-time greats find those stages to do what they do best. And that's what makes them all-time greats. And on this day, the Oakland A's had a doubleheader. think it was televised. One of them was, at least. And do you know what the greatest leadoff hitter of all time did in that doubleheader? Led off both games with a home run.
Yep, he would do that, wouldn't it?
That's Ricky being Ricky. Ricky yep. Henderson, 93. Yep.
And it took him forever to get around the bases, too. That home run try to his. It took him a minute, man. For a guy that could run that fast, for a guy who could run that fast, when he has his home run trot.
He did a little dance around each base when he got there. A little pity-pat, and then hit the base.
He take his time with that thing.
He was one of my two favorite home run trots of all time. And the other one was sort of just defiant. But do you remember one flap down? Jeffrey Leonard, baseball player, when he hit a home run, he'd leave one of his arms straight to the side. And then, you know, he'd pump his arms like he's running with his other one. But he called it one flap down. I love that. Jeffrey Leonard. Don't ask me why I remember this insignificant information, but we sit and talk on this 4th of July. Man, we're just a barbershop. And speaking of which, the boys at Off the Hook told me to tell you hello. I went and saw KB this week, and they gave me a hard time because apparently you've been in there trying to take over my barbershop.
Yeah,
and they
just reminded me and
said, where you been? Sam's been in here all the time.
I've been there. They've been there all the time. but I have been through that. I holler at the crew, man. They're doing well over there.
It's a Hamilton weekend. It's a 4th of July weekend. And Sam, along with Dave Hunter, executive director of Corky Kell Classic, he's going to join us coming up in the next hour.
We're going to talk. Got questions. A lot of people have questions.
A lot of them, too, as I was going to say. Dustin Long. He's going to join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour talking NASCAR. Joe Patrick's going to talk Braves and Atlanta United. But the third installment of a new feature that we brought in with our own producer, Jahi Whitehead, HBCU Update. And, man, is there stories surrounding that this week. And that comes up, and we're going to do that every Sunday at 8:40. So you want to stick around for that update. But I, as we talk about the NFL, and I want to get more into some of these stories from this past week, obviously the big story is – what is the Washington football team going to be called in the near future? And is it going to happen before this next season? Or will it be a couple years down the road? Either way, somebody's going to make a whole...
They're kind of on the clock. If they're going to get it done this season, they're on the clock.
Well,
because they're going to change some things and get the merchandise out there. You know, if you're going to change, you got to get the merchandise. You're going to sell off all the old merchandise, and you got to bring out the new.
And speaking of that team, Joe Bugle died this past week. The old offensive coordinator. This was a dude who, when you talk about Buddy Ryan and defenses, and what he meant to that side of the ball, Joe Bugle was that on the offensive side of the ball. This is the dude who came up with probably the most famous offensive line ever in the NFL, and that's the Hogs with Washington.
Yep.
And he passed away. He was a head coach too, Cardinals. For that, but he will always be known for what he did with that line in Washington, and we lost him this past week. We lost a few other folks too, but again, as we relive some of these 4th of July memories, we're going to make a list of them and bring them back throughout the show. Also acknowledging Goose Gossage on his birthday today. But coming up next, we are going to talk NFL and the stories from this past week, not just the Washington story, but you're going to hear some different types of music, if you will. Kicking off games.
Yes.
A little tease there. It's Sam and Greg,
and
Sports Radio
9. Or no preseason.
That too. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
And mercy more than life.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.